Okay, in John chapter 8 this morning, talking about forgiveness, it says in verse number 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And we don't know to this day exactly what Jesus wrote. It says, So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest one left first, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now listen to this, church. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now this woman was guilty according to their accusation. This woman was guilty. We have no reason to think otherwise. Some have tried to say because there wasn't enough witnesses to see that somehow maybe she wasn't guilty. But we don't know that. From all that we have, this woman was guilty of adultery. And according to the law, she would have been stoned to death, and so would the one that was guilty along with her. But when she went to the Son of God, who is here, in repentance, we see, because when all had left, she didn't run away, she stayed there. And in repentance, Jesus walked up to her, and he says, They didn't condemn you, and neither do I. Jesus was the only one there who had the authority to condemn this woman, but yet he said, Neither do I find you guilty. He said, Go and sin no more. And because of that, she was forgiven. Forgiveness is a matter of the heart. And although most of us know what it means to be forgiven, we know that God commands us to forgive other people. We find it so difficult to forgive many a times. It may not even seem logical sometimes to forgive. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like the logical thing to do. We think, well, they need to learn a lesson. And the best way for them to learn a lesson is if I fail to forgive them. And sometimes it doesn't even seem logical to forgive, but there's a great reason why God still commanded us to do it. And so let's look at forgiveness this morning. Now, the consequences of failing to forgive, you may not realize it, but it affects your entire mood, your health, your physical body. If you fail to forgive people, it will keep you up at night. You'll lack sleep. You'll begin to have pains where you never could imagine you had had pains. It'll seem like you're having a heart attack, maybe a stroke, and it will keep you up all the time. Your health will decline. It eats away at you, just like a cancer. And we probably have seen a little bit of this before, because at some time we all felt like it was just, we were so angry we could not forgive. But yet something within us allowed us to forgive them. And we know that there are consequences to us, not to the other person, but to us, for failing to forgive someone, even though they have wronged us, even though they maybe deserve a taste of their own medicine, we think. But yet, if we fail to forgive, it eats away at us. It affects our mood and our entire being. So what is forgiveness? Before we talk about why we should forgive, let's talk about what forgiveness is. And if you have your Bibles in Matthew chapter number 18, you can write that down in verse 23. There's a parable over there, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And this is a great example that Jesus gave. Jesus liked to talk in parables. He would give illustrations. It's not like some of these things really happen, but he would give an illustration of something that could happen. And a way he did this was he would tell us something that we could understand so that we could understand something even more complicated in the spiritual world. And so he gives us an illustration here of an unmerciful servant. And just paraphrasing the way this story went, it said there was a slave of the king, and he owed the king much money. And in fact, if you go, it was 10,000 talents. And if you calculate that in today's money, according to Jewish calculations, that was about $10 million that this slave owed his king. And he hadn't paid it back, and so the king said, okay, that's it. I'm going to sell your family and give you all away because you failed to pay me. And this man owed the money. But yet he fell down at the feet of the king, and he began to beg for mercy. And he began to ask for him to have some favor and to him to kind of pardon him of this money. And the king said, you know what? Because I have compassion for you, I'm going to forgive you of the entire debt. Can you imagine? That's an amount that no single man could ever pay back. And yet he said, I'm just going to forgive you of all of it. $10 million. Now, some people could repay that, but most people could not repay a debt of $10 million, especially not a man in his position to this king. And so he forgave him of all of the money. He didn't sell his family off. He didn't get what he rightfully deserved. And the king just let the slave go. He said, you know, no problem at all. But then as the story continued on, we see that that same person who was forgiven of such a multitude of money couldn't forgive someone else of $10. And we said the king was very angry at that. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But here's what forgiveness is, and here's what we can take away from this story. When the slave fell down and he begged for more time, and the king forgave him of his entire debt, forgiveness is where an offense has been committed. Somebody has wronged us. Somebody has done us wrong. They should not have done it. We know it was against God's will, but in our judgment, maybe even the judgment of God, they were wrong and they were guilty and they've offended us. And now somebody has to pay for it. We know in through the scriptures, we see that God says somebody has to pay for sin. God doesn't just ignore sin. God doesn't just say, oh, I'm so sorry, you messed up so bad, but you know what, we'll just ignore that it ever happened. No, God didn't do that. He says somebody has to be punished. Somebody has to pay for the wrong that has been done. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. But God says, no, it has to. There, someone has to pay for it. And that's what, when someone wrongs us, somebody has to pay for it. But what forgiveness is, it's where one who has been offended decides to pay for the wrong of another. Even though he didn't deserve to have to pay for it, forgiveness is where you decide anyways, for no other reason than because you have love for that person, and because of the grace of God, that you're just going to pay for it yourself. You've been wronged, you're just going to eat it up, you're going to swallow it. That's what forgiveness is. It's where the one who has been offended decides to pay for the wrong of another. Somebody has to pay. But the one offended decides that they're going to do it. That's what the king did to the slave here. When the slave repented and he fell down and he begged for mercy, he said, you know what, I'm just going to forgive you of all of it. It was more than the slave could ever pay back. He said, I'm just going to forgive you of all of it. That's what forgiveness is. Now, the purpose of forgiveness is reconciliation. See, it's good to have a goal. Why should we forgive? The reason that God wanted to forgive us was so that he could have a relationship with us. With every single man, woman, boy, and girl, that he could have a personal relationship with us. That's why God forgave us of our sins when we're saved. It was because he wanted a relationship with us. He wanted us to be able to go down to the altar and pray to him, and him to be able and talk with us, and him to be able to lead us throughout life, and for him to be able and give us blessings throughout this life that we can enjoy and that we could thank him for. He wanted reconciliation. And the reason that God commands us to forgive one another is because he wants his people, even with our enemies, he wants our relationships to be repaired. It's where something that has been broken, where you've been wronged, and the last thing you want to do is to go and talk to them, and you want to actually ignore or just act like it never happened again. That's the last thing it seemed we want to do. That's exactly what God wants. God says, yeah, it needs to be paid for, but I want you to be the one to pay for it. And I want to repair that which is broken, and I want you to be reconciled. Christians should be reconciled to one another. We should forgive one another. Even our enemies, Christ said. Some people say, well, I'll forgive them, but I'm never going to be close to them again. That's not even logical. That's not what forgiveness is. Bible says forgiveness is where we act as if it never happened. We act as if it never happened, and we reconcile, and we repair our relationship, and we are one again. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it said that Christ sought to reconcile his enemies. It says, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The reason Jesus went to the cross was so that we could be reconciled. That is the aim of forgiveness. That's what it is all about. Forgiving is a command. Someone said, why should we forgive? Well, because Jesus commanded us. And although that maybe that's not a reason that a lot of us, we feel like is good enough for us to go and forgive, it's enough. And when God tells us to forgive one another because I've commanded you, we should do it. But there's more to it. We already talked about some of the benefits of it. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He said, why should we forgive? Because Christ has forgiven us. Why should we forgive? Because Christ has forgiven us. Why else should we forgive? Because God has commanded us. Why else should we forgive? Because it will eat away at you like a cancer. It will keep you up at night. It will destroy your health. If for no other reason, we should forgive them for our own benefit. But even more than that, because God wants us to have a relationship with one another. That's why God commands us to forgive. That's why Jesus went to the cross to pay for the wrong that we had done towards him, was because he was willing to go to whatever extent it took for us and our relationship to be repaired with God. That's why forgiveness is so important. Think about it now for a second. We talked about the parable of the unmerciful servant. That slave owed $10 million to the king. That was an amount that he could not possibly repay. And when we get to the bottom of that message, and what it really is saying to us is that slave represented, and the amount that he owed represented the amount of sins that were on our record that we could not pay for ourselves. No guilty man, woman, boy, or girl can do enough good to pay for the sin that they've already committed against God. That is a debt that is too much for us to be able to pay God back for in order for us to be declared innocent in the eyes of God. No way we could pay for it. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we talked about who he is. He's God himself who was born into this world in flesh. And he went to the cross and died there in order to do what? To pay for the sins of the world, if we will accept him. And Jesus laid down his life on the cross, and all of our sins were laid upon him. And what did he do? He paid the price that we could not pay. And that's what this slave represents here, who owed $10 million. He owed an amount that he could not possibly pay for. That's the same as us. But then the story, the part of the story we just talked about a little bit, the same servant was unable to forgive somebody else of 10 measly dollars. He had been forgiven of 10 million, but he couldn't forgive someone else of 10 measly dollars. And that represents the unthinkable scenario where someone who has been forgiven of such a great amount as Christians, as those who have trusted Jesus and he's forgiven them of a multitude of sins, an amount that they couldn't pay back. He represents the unthinkable scenario where that Christian who claims to be a Christian has been forgiven of so much, but they can't forgive someone else who has wronged them of something so simple, who has even done something legitimately wrong and offended them, but yet they've been forgiven of so much more, but they can't forgive that one person. And what I want to point you out to is that slave who decided that he couldn't forgive someone else of that simple thing. The Bible calls him a wicked servant because he was not truly saved. Someone who is wicked is not a child of God. And so this person represents someone who is not truly saved, because when you say, yes, that you've been forgiven of a multitude of sins, but you can't find it within your heart to forgive someone else of something so simple in magnitude compared to what all Jesus has forgiven us of, you cannot truly be saved. It's not by what we do that determines whether we're saved. It's by faith and trusting in Jesus and what he did for us. But this is evidence that there is no faith there in your heart when you cannot go and forgive someone else who has wronged you so simple compared to what all we've been forgiven of. That's the unmerciful servant. It says that, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What Christ has forgiven us of was just by his grace. That's the motivation for us forgiving one another. It's just because we love them. Not because they deserve it, but just because we love them. And that's what we're to do. So let's talk about forgiving. And when should we forgive? Should we forgive those who treat us wrong? Jesus did that on the cross. When Jesus was there on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even when they were in the very act of wronging him, even when they were in the very act, no worse sin than putting someone to death, especially the Son of God, no worse act than that, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. Please forgive them, for they know not what they do." In ignorance, they're doing what they're doing, thinking that they know what they're doing is right, but it's all wrong. He said, "But Father, forgive them." Stephen, as he was being stoned to death in Acts 7, he said this, as they were casting the stones at him, putting him to death, he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Wow. Would we do that? As they're stoning him to death, electric chair is nothing compared to this. They're casting stones at him, and in the very act, he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Let's talk about what God is like a little bit. In Psalm chapter 103, that's a chapter that's all about who God is. It's a wonderful chapter, and I just read bits and pieces, but write that chapter down in your notes today. And it talks all about who God is, and when we read about who God is and we find out more about him, we see that he's a forgiving God. And we see a little bit about why we should forgive others. It said in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." See, the fact is when we serve this merciful and gracious God, we don't get what we deserve. We deserve a whole lot worse than we've got. Because of all the wrong that we've done to God, we deserve a whole lot worse. I think every single person here would have to say, if I got what I deserved, I would already be dead and I would be in hell today because of what all I have done. And yet God has still blessed us anyways. We don't get what we deserve. It says in verse number 10, that same chapter, "He, God, hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." That's exactly what that says. The God that we serve has not paid us back for what we truly deserve. He's a gracious and merciful God. That's the kind of God we serve. Here, again, that's why we should be merciful to others. Even Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you've ever studied the book of Corinthians, you know that that church had a lot of problems. And one of the things that he said to them in chapter 6 was this. He told them, he urged them, just go ahead and allow yourself to be wronged. Wow, that's hard to swallow. And I admit there's sometimes when you just need to leave, you need to walk away, you need to get yourself out of the situation. Jesus, he left when they were trying to put him to death. He'd get out of there. But hear what Paul says. He says, when you've been wrong, instead of thinking about how you can pay them back, because I know that's the first thing that comes to our mind. That's human nature. Let's pay them back and give them a taste of their same, of the medicine that they've handed out to us. But here, Paul says, just allow yourself to be wrong. And don't demand repayment in return. Verse 7, it is there. And so sometimes it's just a good thing. He says, just swallow it, pay for it yourself. God's aware of our weaknesses, and this is what we should do. When somebody has wronged us, we should, even though we may not understand, we should try to understand how they feel. We should sit down and we should try to understand their feelings, because that's what God tells us. He's aware of our weaknesses. It says, "For he knoweth," verse 14, "he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." That's what we ought to do. This will help us and this will motivate us to be able to forgive. When we understand that those people truly just do not realize what they're doing. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen said, "Lord," he said, "lay not this sin to their charge." And he knew they just do not understand what they're doing. Sometimes we sit down and we think about all of these things and we've had a long time to think about something and we just can't get the other person to see our side of things. And just it'll help you and it'll do you a lot of good if you just sit down and remember, you know, you've been thinking about this a whole lot more than they have. Think about their feelings. Think about where they come from. Even if you can't understand them, it'll do us a lot of good, because the Bible says that the Lord knoweth our frame and he remembers that we are dust. We understand where they're coming from, it'll help us to forgive. And the Bible says in forgiveness is this. In Jeremiah 31:34, God says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Forgiveness is this. It's treating someone else as if it never happened. That doesn't mean that you're going to forget it. Bible says God remembers their sin no more. Now, I truly believe that's something only God can do. Only God can just forget something when He chooses to do that. It's hard for us to forget things that happen. And I'm not suggesting to you that you just be able to hit a switch or say a prayer and all of a sudden you'll just forget about it. But what you have to start with is you treat the person as if it never happened. One man, very smart man, C.S. Lewis said that if you want to love somebody who is unlovable, just start acting like you love them. Even though you don't love them at first, just act like you do. And when you begin to act like you do, what you'll find is an amazing thing. It'll unlock the power of God within you, and you'll actually start to love that person that you never thought you could if you'll just act as if you do, because you're giving the Holy Spirit latitude to work in your life and actually be able to do something. So treat them as if it never happened. That's what forgiveness is. Treating as if it never happened. Choosing to pay for the wrong yourself. That's what forgiveness is. You say, that's hard to do. I know. I know it's hard to do. But it becomes a whole lot easier when you realize what all that Christ has forgiven you of. What all Jesus was willing to go through in order to pay for the wrong that we did to Him. What all God was willing to do. Think about this a minute. Before He ever created mankind, He knew that we would sin against Him. He said, but it's worth it. He said, I'm going to create Adam and Eve, and I'm going to create mankind anyways, even though I know that in order to give them life, I'm going to have to go and die for them on the cross. I'm going to have to leave my throne in heaven, and I'm going to have to go to this world and be humiliated for all that time, and I'm going to have to die and be put to death in the most cruel fashion that you can imagine. But I'm willing to pay that price in order for them to be forgiven. That's forgiveness. And when you realize what all that Christ has forgiven us of, it becomes a whole lot easier to forgive somebody else of the worst thing you could imagine in this world. Because there's nothing more worse than what Jesus decided to pay for. So should we forgive others even if they don't repent? That's the question that everybody wants to know. Well, what did they have to do in order for me to forgive them, right? Should we just forgive somebody even when they haven't decided that it was wrong, or even when they haven't decided to change what they're doing? And as I search the scriptures and I look through the Word of God, I find that when Jesus forgave us, He required repentance. You have to turn around in order to be forgiven. You have to make a decision, and you have to have some sorrow in your heart that, hey, sin is wrong and I should not have done these things. And you have to make a conscious decision that, yes, I'm going to turn. I'm willing to. I don't know how I'm going to have the strength to do it, God. But yet my heart has changed, and I'm giving this to You, and I'm asking, Lord, please forgive me. And He said He would do that if there's repentance in our heart. Even before we've proven that we've actually repented. You don't have to do anything as far as works go other than have faith in Jesus and what He's done. But He does require a change of the heart. You do have to realize, I've sinned and I'm remorseful, and God, I'm turning from this now. And we're giving my heart to You. So God requires repentance before forgiveness becomes. But He tells us to forgive, and He doesn't even necessarily say that the person should repent first. And the reason that I find for why we should forgive anyways is because there's some benefit to you. See, true forgiveness, the whole purpose of forgiveness, remember again, is reconciliation. Remember, God wants our relationship to be repaired. And if only one of the two people who've been offended, if only one of them is willing to forgive, you can't have reconciliation. You didn't really achieve the goal. God forgave us so He could have a relationship with us. God wants us to forgive one another so that we can have a relationship and it can be restored again. So one-sided forgiveness doesn't really achieve that, but there's still a benefit to you. There's still a benefit to the person if you're willing to go out of your way and say, you know what, I'm sorry if there was a confusion, maybe a miscommunication, or maybe I shouldn't have said what I said. Please forgive me. I'm willing to pay for it myself. There's still some benefit to you. It's like a relief. It won't eat away at you at night anymore. It won't affect your entire physical body, your mental health. It's just a relief to you. And so there's still a benefit. But true reconciliation is only possible if both turn, if both offer forgiveness, if both acknowledge they're wrong and they repent. It can't be forced. All God requires for us to do is try. And I want to show you exactly what Jesus tells us to do whenever somebody has been wrong. And let's look at it together, because this is the prescription that God has given us. And I've tried this before and I've seen it be successful. At the time, it didn't seem like it was going to go well. I promise you. But at the end of it all, it worked. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, This is the way that he tells us to forgive someone. Or if someone has wronged you, this is what you should do. For the offended, in Matthew 18, verse 15, he says, if your brother shall trespass against you, that means sin, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Everybody hear that? Between thee and him alone. Now, I know this is old English. This is the King James that we love so much. But this is, I need to make sure every one of us understands what thee and him alone means. It means privately. It means you can pick up the phone and you can call them alone. But before the pastor ever needs to hear about it, before the deacon ever needs to hear about it, before your friend ever needs to hear about it, the person that has wronged you needs to hear about it first. You can go to God in prayer and you pray about it, but before the pastor ever hears a thing about it, he didn't need to hear it before you and him go together, or he and she go together, or whoever it may be, privately, and you talk about this. If someone has sinned against you, go to them privately and tell him his fault between you two alone. And then if he shall hear thee, because sometimes they don't, then you have gained your brother. That's the first step. And then after that, you can keep reading. He says after that, then you can go and take two or three with you. And then you can go after that, and we can handle it later. So the pastor, you can call the pastor, call the deacon, call your Christian friend, your brother or sister, after you perform this first step. For the one who has offended someone else, Matthew chapter 5, this is what, if you've offended somebody else, or maybe this was somebody who offended you, this is what God's expectation for them is. And this is a step that we leave out a lot of times, and this is important. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, that means if you come down with this burden where you've wronged somebody, and you want to come down to the altar and pray and lay it on the altar before God and say, God, forgive me for what I've done. Here's what he says. This is important. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, that you have offended someone else, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Here's what he says. First be reconciled to thy brother. See, it's all about reconciliation. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. He says, don't come to me and ask for my forgiveness until you go to the person that you have wronged and you ask for their forgiveness first. They may not hear you. That's their problem. That's between them and God if they don't, but you've done your part. This is all God requires. And then he says, you go and offer that forgiveness to them first, and then you come to the altar, and he says, then you lay that before my feet, and I will forgive you of that. So that's for those who have offended someone else. For those who've been offended, Matthew 18. For those who've offended someone else, Matthew chapter 5. And that's a great thing to remember, and that's God's method. That's his prescription for forgiveness. And remember, the reason that we're to forgive others is so we can be reconciled, so that we can have a relationship with one another again. It may not be your best friend again. You may not trust them like you did before, but you're going to treat them as if it never occurred. You're going to forgive them so that that relationship can be restored. And that's what Jesus has done for us, and that's why we should do it for others. Now, another question. How many times should we forgive someone else? How many times? If the person commits a wrong against you and they come and ask for forgiveness, they repent and they ask for forgiveness and you forgive them, right? Because that's what Jesus said to do. But then they go and they do the same thing again. And you begin to question, you say, well, did they really repent? Because if they truly repented, then how can they do the same thing again? And they come and they say, I'm sorry, I'm just out of control, I lost control again, I did this wrong, and please forgive me. And you forgive them the second time. Then they come again, and now you're beginning to say, okay, there's some limitation to how many times I'm supposed to forgive somebody, right? And you'd ask the same question that Peter did to Jesus. In Matthew 18, same chapter, Peter came to him after Jesus is teaching all about forgiveness, and he's teaching this complicated thing about forgiveness, you know, it seems. And Peter says, okay, now wait a minute. He says, now, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He says, seven times. And he states it as if that's the number that he thinks is good. Probably because he's read through his Bible and he sees that God's number of completion is seven. That's kind of God's number throughout the Bible, 7 days and seven judgments. And we see that kind of thing with God. It's a number of completion. And he probably thinks, the number seven is probably what God's will is. And Jesus says this to him. He says, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, some of you say, okay, all right, so that's 490 times then. And when that get to know, Jesus is saying an unlimited number of times. He says, if somebody comes to you 490 times for the same offense, then you can come to me and we can talk about it. But even if you hit that number, Jesus is saying, no, an unlimited number of times you should be willing to forgive. Wow. That's the forgiveness. That's how deep the grace of God goes. That's how deep His mercy goes. An unlimited amount of times, that's how often we should forgive others. See, there's a reason for us to forgive. The Bible says Satan can get an advantage of us when we fail to forgive someone else. It's a distraction and it will diminish the work of God. He tells the church in 2 Corinthians there. And so there's a problem with failing to forgive. So God says, let's forgive one another so that our relationship can be restored. This is the will of God. Through Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. That's just like that man who owed $10 million. We were forgiven of a multitude of sin. We could not keep the law of Moses, but Jesus went to the cross. He kept the law completely, perfectly, and yet was without sin. He died for our sins, and when he died on that cross, what he did, he paid the price that we owed ourselves. He said, I'm going to pay for it myself. And by our confession to him of our wrong and repentance within our heart, a change of our heart and saying, God, I should not sin. I'm sorry. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. He said, you know what? I paid the price for you. And I'm willing to lay that price to your account so that you can be forgiven. Be assured of his forgiveness. That's something we all need to be assured of. Be assured of his forgiveness. John wrote it in 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Satan will get an advantage of you if you don't realize that you're forgiven. Realize we're forgiven because of Jesus has paid the price for us. So the point today is really this, that forgiveness is made possible by way of the cross. If it weren't for the cross and Jesus paying the price for us, paying the price that we owed, we cannot be forgiven. And so we can forgive others when we've been wrong. We can pay the price for their offense to us because we have been forgiven of far more by Jesus Christ.